So we're going to move forward now. And I invite you to pray along with me as we pray the Spirit's unfolding vision prayer. Guided by divine wisdom, inspired by divine imagination, and centered in divine love, and knowing that God is our source, we boldly move forth in faith as we allow Spirit's expanding vision to unfold in our lives, the life of the spiritual community, and in our world. Amen. And just because we are meeting through the wonders of the internet instead of physically with one another doesn't mean that we are not going to celebrate Birthday Sunday. So if it's your birthday, I invite you to all give a wave so that we could at least see you and acknowledge you. And we have a very special birthday song today.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Now it's time for our daily word reading. Susan?
Good morning. Sunday, the 5th of April, 2020. The daily word is Hosanna. Shouts of Hosanna arise as the people cover the dusty road with palm branches, greeting Jesus with great enthusiasm as he rides a donkey into Jerusalem. The entry of Jesus into Jerusalem symbolizes the dawning of Christ awareness in the heart of mankind. The crowd shouts of Hosanna represent prayers that this dawning Christ awareness be protected and nurtured. I reflect on this powerful story, seeing in myself both the dawning This Palm Sunday, my heart sings Hosanna. I celebrate the growing Christ awareness in the Jerusalem of my soul. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Mark 11:10.
Thank you, Susan. Rob, if you're there, you are up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's time for our message for today, and I'm going to revert back to the PowerPoint because I really want to launch this message with a video that I found on the internet. And you might think that the video is a bit strange, but just take a look at it, please. Thank you. If you're really wondering what that video of the Chicago Blackhawks clinching the World Championship Cup in the year 2015 has to do with today's topic, that everybody loves a parade, or the realization that today is Palm Sunday, I'll let you know as soon as I think of something. No, I'm just joking, of course. I'm kidding. Actually, that video is right on topic for what we're going to be doing and what we're going to be talking about today. And I'll get back to it and share more about that a little bit later in the talk. Today is Palm Sunday. I remember growing up when I was a kid being raised in Catholicism. I hated Palm Sunday because whenever Palm Sunday would roll around, I would go to church, to Sunday Mass, as we were all obligated to do. And of course, I was a kid, so I went there in a real state of mindlessness. And I'd be sitting there in the pew, and then the service would begin, and then a few minutes into it, I had the realization that it was not just going to be the priest that was going to be reading the gospel that day, but that there were three people lined up. They were going to be doing the gospel in reader's theater form. And inside, I just screamed, "No, God, you got to be kidding me. Not the passion reading. This is going to take forever." Because every Palm Sunday, Catholic Church did the passion reading, which took everybody from Palm Sunday all the way back, all the way up to the crucifixion. And I just remember thinking, this is going to go a half an hour, maybe more, and I'm never going to have that time back in my life. Nobody ever explained to me the significance of Palm Sunday. Nobody even offered a theory as to what Palm Sunday really was about. All that we knew is that it was the start of Holy Week. Nobody ever shared with us that Palm Sunday, that first Palm Sunday, was a parade, a victory march, and a protest all rolled into one. It almost definitely was deliberately staged as was the celebration in Grant Park following that incredible Blackhawks victory. It had been 82 years since the Blackhawks had won the championship on their home ice. And so it was something that most people had never seen before. And so it certainly warranted an incredible celebration. But going back to Palm Sunday, not only was it a victory march, not only was it a celebration, not only was it a protest, it was a dramatic manifestation of the birth of a new consciousness. If you read through the Gospels, it's really quite obvious that Jesus was very much the reluctant Messiah. He repeatedly made statements like, "Don't tell anybody about this," after he had just performed a miracle, or "My hour has not yet come," in response to somebody asking him to perform a miracle. Stop for a moment and imagine what it must have been like to grow into that awareness, to come into that consciousness of who he was and what he was called to do. Imagine what he must have experienced when that consciousness reached its peak. The euphoria, the overwhelming sense of joy, the "oh my God" gasp it might have escaped from his lips when he was confronted with the knowing, the realization of just how bright that Christ light within him really was. The joy in that Blackhawk video and in the millions of people who celebrated the victory in Grant Park a few days later absolutely must have paled in comparison. But there's something much more to it, and there's something much more to Palm Sunday. With that knowing that came to Jesus also came a strong realization. The realization brought with it a sense of what he was to do, a sense of what he was called to do. In that moment, it all became real. Every 4 years in our country, we have a presidential election. And candidates go out and campaign for 2 years, maybe even longer. And on the night, whoever wins has an incredible celebration party that's thrown. And from what I understand, the day after that, notwithstanding all of the hard work that had gone into making it happen, it all becomes real. And as the president-elect begins to become educated and transitioned, is my understanding their eyes are wide open as they become aware of the incredible, awesome responsibility that comes where they now find themselves. I remember witnessing the birth of my children. And let me just say right now, ladies, we men have nothing on you who have given birth. So I'm not trying to take it there, but I remember the birth of my children. And in those very moments, it all became real. I was a father. I had lived through the pregnancies. I was very much an expectant father. I attended all of the Lamaze classes, and I practiced with my wife all of the breathing exercises, and I watched new life slowly grow in the womb of my wife. But it never was as real as those moments in which the actual birth took place. I had just become a father. Never before was I happier than at those times. I was overwhelmed with joy, and couldn't wait to tell the world. I wanted to shout it to the rooftops. And I bought boxes of cigars and I passed them out to people I knew and I passed them out to people that I didn't know. And I ended up telling the whole story to the same people more than once as they reminded me. And I said, I don't care. I'm a father. And I also remember being filled with fear, absolutely terrified, especially the first go around, because suddenly it became real. In those moments, I was confronted with the reality of what was mine to do. And it was a realization that extended way beyond to having to change diapers or to sometimes assist my wife by getting up in the middle of the night. I was just terrified, so afraid of the responsibility of being a dad. It had all become real. I told you before that Jesus' victory parade into Jerusalem was deliberate and planned. The Gospels tell us how Jesus instructed two of his disciples to go ahead to the next village with very specific instructions. They were to come back with a young colt, a donkey, never ridden before. And Jesus told his disciples what to say if they were questioned. He told them to play the Messiah card. And they did, and it worked. All of this was in accord with the prophecy of Zechariah. Jesus had to arrive on a donkey to fulfill the prophecy. Zechariah had predicted a king that would come to his people in a way that was very different from any way anybody else had ever come to claim a throne. Jesus climbed on top of that donkey and began his march to the east gate of Jerusalem. What we have learned from recent biblical scholars and what the Gospels do not tell us, but what early readers of the Gospel story would have known, is that at the very same time that Jesus was parading toward the city of Jerusalem from the east, there was another really grand parade entering the city from the west. Every year, the Roman governor of Judea would parade into Jerusalem to be present for the Jewish celebration of Passover. And he would do so in full military brigade. Passover was and still is the Jewish celebration of their liberation from Egypt. The Romans' parade into the city was a message that said this: go ahead and celebrate this special event in your history. Go ahead and celebrate this special event in your culture, in your religion. But don't lose sight of who's in charge now. Don't forget who's the boss now. It would have been Pilate that processed into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. It would have been a full military parade with stallions and soldiers and banners and drums, the whole works. Certainly, in contrast, Jesus' parade would have looked quite different. No white stallion for him. He affirmed his kingdom, the kingdom of God, on a donkey. Instead of soldiers, he was flanked by peasants and poor people waving palms instead of banners. Yet his followers must have been incredibly loud as they cheered him on and waved their palms. In the Gospel of Luke, it tells us that one of the Pharisees along the road asked Jesus to tell his followers, take it easy. Cool things down a bit. This is getting out of hand. In response, Jesus tells the Pharisee that if he were to tell his followers to become quiet, the stones along the road themselves would cry out. Was this arrogance on Jesus' part? Or was it an expression of the reality that once the presence of the Christ is uncorked, there's no getting it back into the bottle? That's the fascinating thing about consciousness. There is no going back. We learn from the story of the Velveteen Rabbit that once you become real, you cannot become unreal. It lasts forever. I mentioned earlier the awareness of what you are called to do that is a consequence of a higher knowing. Jesus had to know that his triumphant ride into Jerusalem was an act of thumbing his nose at both the Romans and the religious order of his time. He had to know that by challenging the powers that were, there would be hell to pay. He had to know that his actions at morning were inviting a ticket to be silenced on a cross. I suspect that all of us present here today has at one time or another the experience of being called to do the right thing. And in that moment, we know that it's the right thing because of the consciousness that we have arisen to. And so we have had that experience of being called to do the right thing, maybe at our job, maybe in a relationship, maybe to stand up to someone who was bullying somebody, maybe to tell somebody who had just told a hurtful joke, you know, it wasn't funny. Maybe to reach out and be there for somebody who really needed it. As we grow in our awareness, it becomes more and more difficult to look the other way, to play it safe, and to not make waves. As we grow in consciousness of the Christ that dwells within, we absolutely should celebrate. We should sing and dance in the streets. We should be joyous with every breath we take, of every breath we take. Because you see, those celebrations are manifestations of that profound inner feeling that it just became a little more real. Those parades are reflections of the awareness of the incredible gift of life in ourselves, in one another, and throughout the world. And yes, those celebrations empower us. They build us up to be about and do whatever we may be called to do. Do you have to ride on a donkey? No. But maybe it's time to get off your butt. Whatever is yours to do, celebrate it passionately and do it the same way, filled with passion. The city of Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, awaits you. And so it is. And now we're going to take this into prayer and meditation.